Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast, your best podcast spot for all things Cleveland Guardians baseball. Presented by WaitingForNextYear.com. Follow Matt on Twitter at Dairy Speaks and Todd at TD Guardians KU. The Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast is on the air.
What do you know? A Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast All-Star Edition. What's up, everybody? Matt and Todd with you from WaitingForNextYear.com and also the Evergreen Podcast Network, talking Cleveland Guardians baseball, brought to you by the Center for Advanced Dentistry, CFAD.net, Groove Ride, and of course our friends at Breaking Tea. Breaking Tea t-shirts at BreakingTea.com/Dairy. Guardians are in first place, ladies and gentlemen, going into the All-Star break. Last night's home run derby was scintillating. I didn't watch it, but it sounded fun. Todd, you said you were up to like midnight watching that thing.
Well, first of all, I was not up till midnight watching it. It just so happens that I had it on because, you know, I'm not a big home run derby fan. We don't have to get into it. I mean, I think it's cool for like the first round, but that thing goes on for, like you said, you were coming back from vacation. And you were very delayed. And I said, yeah, maybe this thing will be over by the time you get back from the airport. So, yeah, I do want to say real quick, shout out to cousin Matt, whose son happened to be the kid who got drilled by the Vladimir Guerrero.
That's confirmed?
It's confirmed.
Is he okay?
He was on the field shagging fly balls, and he got drilled. He was the one who got the kid who got drilled in the face. So, you know, I hope I haven't heard from him this morning, but I'm assuming Jory's okay. But shout out to cousin Jory out there. Guardians fan living in Seattle. He got on the field to shag fly balls and that happened to him. But anyways,
I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah.
When the sun is like that and it's like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock Seattle time or whatever.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of dangerous for those kids to be out there where they can barely see the ball?
It looked like the sun was right in their eyes there, but it was awful. So yeah, hopefully he's okay. But regardless,
how about our baseball team?
How about that, huh? First place. I'll tell you what. if it's so funny because, and we talk about it over and over and over again, but if they were in any other division, well, if they were in the AL East or whatever, we'd be like, they're a 500 team. They're going nowhere. When are we trading Bieber? When are we trading Ahmed? When are we going to see Rocchio at short? You know, like all this stuff. But instead, it is, okay, Ahmed's hitting well, but we got to figure out his defense. Should they trade Bieber and go with the kids, or should they roll the dice and keep him a little bit longer? You know, it's just the division just changes your complete frame of reference on who they really are and what they really are, because the truth is what they are is an average 500 baseball team. But as we know, you get into that tournament and anything is possible and anything can happen. I mean, the 97 Tribe was the worst of those quote era of champions teams. Nothing like calling the era of champions when you won nothing, but they were
that's a good bit.
Yeah, but the truth is they were essentially a Jose Mesa blown save away from being World Series champions. They won 86 games that year. The Guards could finish with 86 wins. All it's going to take is one winning streak and then of, you know, 6, 7, 8 games and then play 500 baseball the rest of the way. You'll probably win the division by 5 games.
You put on the list, and by the way, welcome back to those of you that missed us, and we're good to be back. Great to be back and everything else, and sorry we were gone a little vacay and everything else, but you wrote on the list first half recap. I mean, I don't know how to describe this first half. It's hard to do because they've underachieved. There's no question about it. This has been an underachieving team, but yet likable enough and seeing some things with some young kids, especially on the pitching side, and the pitching factory is alive and well. I mean, the team's you know, what's the identity of this organization? It's been the same for years and it hasn't changed, and it's worked to the point of, all right, they don't spend a lot of money, cheap owner, blah, blah, blah. But then pitching is what gets them there. And now to have three young guys in Bybee, Allen, and Williams who can all do it. And I think Allen will come back to the rotation. You know, the Rock has come back. I think eventually that'll happen. So, you know, that's been good. And while the bullpen has had its hiccups, Todd, I mean, for the most part, they've had to, you know, navigate through one run waters almost every night. It's difficult to do. And again, the offense is getting better, but still doesn't have enough power. And thank you to the Orioles for taking care of the Twins this past weekend. So we are in first place. I know some people go, well, they should have swept Kansas City. Well, you played seven games at the Royals. And yes, that's a ball team. All right. That's a OCA. That's an OCAA outfit.
I honestly think they're worse than Oakland. Like if you yes. asked me to take one of those two teams, I'm taking Oakland.
Would you really? See,
who on the Royals lineup?
Well, Bobby Witt and Salvi Perez are legit big leaguers.
Of course. But I'm saying other than Bobby Witt, Salvador Perez is old at this point. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, he's but still he's good. Still, he's still legitimate.
I'd take him. But like, I would at too. Least, I mean, I don't know. Oakland seemed more competitive to me. That the Royals pitching staff is so bad.
Yes.
I mean, did you see the guy? Okay. So I went, what night was it?
Brady Singer was a first round pick.
Yeah. Well, they drafted Singer, Chris Bubich, and there was Daniel Lynch, and none of them have panned out.
Right.
You know, all college pitchers to bring up quickly didn't work out. But like Jordan Lyles started the game. I went to the game with Adam and I think it was Thursday. It was Thursday.
Yeah,
Jordan Lyles, he was 1-11 with like a 6 ERA, and they were still had him in the rotation. I mean, right.
They got nothing else.
That team stinks, but I hear what you're saying.
Like they went 5-2 in that 7-game stretch.
Yeah.
And you got the Class A blown save, and then you had Sunday's game 2 days ago where they left 7,000 guys on base. You know, pinch hitting Josh Bell, and he hits into a double play. I mean, that's an old
hit. I'm not going to defend Josh Bell because he's part of my first half overview recap about how bad he was. He at least hit the ball hard. I'll give him that. He just hit it right at somebody in that double play.
Yeah,
but well, I hear what you're saying.
I'm tired of him hitting the. I mean, I know, you know, I don't want to hear about Josh Bell's exit velocity.
Nah.
You know?
Oh, he's, you know, bad luck, bad BABIP. Anyway, my overview of the first half on the offensive side is pretty much comes down to, you know, underachievement, bad placement by the manager, and the fact that essentially you have two dead spots in the lineup at a minimum every night. You know, we discussed how the catching position was a black hole until they had brought up Bo Naylor. Bo struggled, but you can see it's there, and you got to give him time. You know, he's one of your top prospects. You can see the hitting is there. The whole thing about, well, I'll come back to the defense. Zunino was a complete disaster. Straw has been a complete disaster. I mean, fourth outfielder at best. He's a fourth outfielder. Yet our manager continues to trot him out every single fucking game.
When he throws out a runner at home on a double play to save a game.
That was incredible.
It was incredible. I'm saying it was a really good play. But I'm saying those are the type of plays that Tito will say, that's why he's playing. You know, we need him out there. We'll deal with his bat, which is lifeless, but he's so good in center. But again, like you said, if you had Sean Murphy at catcher, you could bat Straw ninth and not worry about it. Instead, you're developing a guy right now that we like and is eventually going to hit. He just hasn't really yet consistently in Bo Naylor, but like you said, Todd, let's say Shane Bieber stays and we win the division. We play Houston in the first round, which is what we'd do right now, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, Shane Bieber would probably start game one, right? So you would have Cam Gallagher catching because he's Bieber's catcher and Miles Straw playing. So you would have, like you said, two automatic outs on top of I think, a third automatic out on your designated hitter, you're paying $17 yep. million. Dollars. So that's not good. You can't you look what Texas is doing right now. We'll talk about that when, you know, we get toward the end. But these teams like Texas and Houston that have lost pitchers to injury, whether it was DeGrom, whether it was Javier for the Astros, all, you know, all these guys have gotten hurt. Verlander left. McCullers has been out, but they mash, you know.
Yeah,
the reason the Guardians are playing better baseball as of late is that the offense has at least been better than below replacement level like it was the first 3 months.
Yeah, it's clear that they still need another bat. Somebody has, you know, they need more. They need more. It's essentially become, if Naylor and Jose don't do it, then they're in trouble. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
Ahmed's on a nice hot streak with the bat. He's getting on base more. I'm off his case with the bat, but like, let's be honest. I mean, Kwan's been not nearly as good as he was last year.
No.
Andrés Giménez, while he has been much better of late, not nearly as good as he was last year.
No.
Josh
Bell.
A year ago
at this time, Andrés Giménez was starting the All-Star game.
Yeah.
And now he's not even close.
No.
Hopefully he gets there. I mean, I think he's young enough. And I think he's good enough. He will. But you're right. We expected after last season, we said, man, Kwan, Oscar, Jimenez, we get some young studs.
And Will Brennan on the come. Right. We were like, all excited.
Right. Yeah. And Bo Naylor eventually. And none of them have been studs.
No.
So that and you're right. That's asking a lot of. I mean, Jose's exhausted.
He's DH'ing him every Sunday. He's DH'ing him.
But the last
couple
games, his at bats have not been good.
I think the All Star break,
but he's got to be tired, and he's going. You know, he's out in Seattle right now.
Yeah, I do think the All Star break's been good for him. Listen, guy's still got an 870 OPS. You know, he's still a stud. He's still probably the best. You know. But yeah, he is exhausted because he and Naylor have carried the team. I mean, I don't think we've talked enough good things about Naylor and the turnaround that he has had, especially against left-handed pitching. I got to give him a ton of credit. We were on this podcast. I'll be the first one to say it. I was on this podcast at the beginning of the year saying he cannot play against lefties. They got to sit him against lefties, yada, yada, yada. Remember, I think he was like 0 for his first 17. You know, he's up to 263 with a 752 OPS against lefties.
It's phenomenal.
Remember how horrible he was?
He deserves to be in Seattle. It's a joke he's not there.
His months of May, June, and July. Let me just give you these numbers. In May, he had an 890 OPS, drove in 25 runs, 5 homers, hit 293. June, 923 OPS, drove in 18 runs, with a 370 batting average. And in July, the 28 at bats, he's 11 for 28 with a 950 OPS. I mean, the guy, and it seems like every time he has come up in a big spot lately, especially late in games, he delivered. And it really, you remember those games where he hit the series earlier, where he hit the eighth inning home runs. It was 3 games in a row, right? Where he hit homers it was either back-to-back
three in a row.
Yeah. I mean, he's just been,
awesome.
I mean, you look up at that trade with the Padres now, and even if, hypothetically, even if, so Hedges, you got what you got out of Hedges, he's gone. You got Owen Miller was nothing. Arias, even if he's no good, which I think he's no good, even if you can look up and say, okay, it was a 1-for-1 trade. Josh Naylor for Mike Clevinger, who then started, I think, one game, got hurt for them, sat out a year, and then left.
Yeah,
that is just a total steal. And we haven't seen Joey Cantillo yet. And he's supposedly, the next arm that's coming up. So
Cal Quantrill pitched.
And Cal, I forgot about Cal.
Very important innings in the playoffs last year. So I'm hopeful that he bounces back at some point. There's something wrong with him. He's had a horrible year. Now he's back on the IL.
Well,
you said Cantillo was hitting 98 in the Futures game the other night. So let's break that down.
Well, speaking of which, when I went to the season ticket holder event, which I'll talk about later, Cal was on the field. Like when we were all lining up, Cal was on the field and he was throwing. He was like long tossing and throwing hard. So this may have been his shoulders bothering him, also known as he's not good and we don't know what to do with him. So let's IL him and figure it out, because Cal's been a huge, huge disappointment. And this goes back to the pitching factory. Luckily, you had three arms that were ready to go, because at the beginning of the year, go back to that rotation at the beginning of the year. It was Bieber, it was Plesac, Savali,
McKenzie.
No, McKenzie started on the beginning. IL.
Right. Yeah.
It was those three. Hunter Gaddis was in the rotation for McKenzie.
Yeah.
And who am I forgetting? Who was the fifth guy? Who am I forgetting?
Not Curry. Curry was in the
ballpark. No, Curry started the season in the pen.
It was and Quantrill.
And Cal. Okay.
Yeah.
And now you look up, Cal's injured. You got McKenzie's injured. The only guy that's still in the rotation, I mean, Savali was hurt. He's back.
Yep.
But now it's basically the kids. Savali starting the first game out of the break.
Yes, he
so
is.
It's, you know, Gavin Williams and Bibee and Allen have all been very impressive. I think they, you know, when Savali came back, someone had to go, unfortunately. And I think he had struggled in his last two starts, so they gave him a little respite, little break. You know, all these guys, they're managing their innings, which is another topic. And I think they hoped Cal would come back and be good, but he was awful in his two starts. And
yeah, I think something's wrong with him. I don't know if it's something mental. But to go from a guy that, you know, especially at home, will give you seven innings, keep the ball down, and then to get to this now, where, I mean, every game it's 3-0, they're down no matter where he's pitching.
It was against the Braves. They were 4-0 before he got an out.
Look, and that's a murderer's row lineup, but still, he's not fooling anybody. How good is that team, by the way? Oh my God.
First of all,
no one's beating them.
They're awesome. Their pitching's awesome. Their lineup's awesome. And adding Sean Murphy, I mean, listen, we wanted Sean Murphy badly. Now you see why. He came in to Cleveland and he hit homers in two of the three games, by the way.
We wanted Matt Olson too.
Yes, we went after both those guys. They both ended up on the Braves, and they've both been great. Matt Olson, you got to give a ton of credit to replace a legend and be that good.
Come on.
Very impressive.
But
we have no hitters like – that's the thing. That's two of their ancillary pieces, and they also have Ronald Acuna, who's an absolute superstar player, Ozzie Albies, Michael Harris. I mean, they are loaded. We have nothing like that in our life.
No,
you know, we got Naylor and Jose, and hope everyone else hope everyone else works out.
Well, and that's the other thing. And I mean, I know that there are fans that get really upset at this organization because, we were close to Sean Murphy. All right. Well, you probably would have had to have traded Gavin Williams to get him. And, we were close on Matt Olson. Well, you probably would have had to trade it at that time. I think Freeman was rumored. You know, there's all sorts of stuff that went on. Bottom line is the Braves go out and really put forth maximum effort. I'm not taking a shot at the Dolans. I don't want to do that today, but I'm just making a point that there's a problem with the sport when a team like the Braves can draft and develop like they do really well, but they also spend. You know, they got Olson, they extended him. They got Murphy, they extended him. We don't do
Michael
that.
Harris, they extended right away.
We don't
away.
Do that.
They're going, Alex Anthopoulos is doing the John Hart model, you know, lock
yeah,
up.
But with more, yeah, but with more money.
That's true. But like they have Acuna for like 10, you know,
yeah,
they gave
those,
him like
yeah,
right away because
yeah,
they knew he was a superstar.
The homegrown guys. Yep.
And if Acuna hit the open market now, he's getting $400 million at least.
Oh, yeah.
And he's locked in for like another 8 years and I think at most $200 million. So
he didn't even do that much damage against us. And still, they still took 2 out of 3. And the one game that we won, you know, was an extra innings and David Fry delivered. By the way, what a story he's been.
I'll tell you what. You know what? You can tell,
I have no beef with him when he plays. No.
Me neither. You can tell, by the way, that Tito has now attached himself. This is like Tito always has that one guy who he loves, who is limited, is a nice way of putting it. It's now him. You know what I mean? Like every year there's always a guy with Tito that gets more at bats than we think he deserves. But in this instance with Fry, I know we're bouncing all over the place, the fact that you can put him in right field on one day, put him at catcher one day, put him at first base one day, put him at third base one day.
Oh,
it's really good. Plus, they need right-handed bats, and he's actually started to hit lately. The game, and you know what? It's amazing to me that he could catch zero innings in AAA and come up and be – he's been nowhere – listen, better than Zunino defensively, I think you would be. You know, he hasn't been a problem back there except that one time he had the pass ball in extra innings. That was it. But he's – you can see the confidence he's gaining. I like what I see from him in terms of the interviews too. Seems like a really good dude, team guy. You know, he's right up Tito's alley. He really is.
The problem is that – while I like him, while you like him, and he can hit. It seems like he can hit any pitching, which is good, but he's still David Fry. Like that's
Exactly.
You know, it's like that's the one thing is we talk about, oh man, Gavin Williams has come up and he looks the part. Logan Allen came up and looked the part. Bybee's really good. He is. We have nobody like that positionally. Nobody. You know, Kwan came up last year and was amazing. But he's kind of leveled off a little bit. He's still a good baseball player. And so is Andrés Giménez. And like we said, some of the younger guys. But, you know, it's almost like we don't have that young guy we're bringing up. It's David Fry off the scrap heap. And look, he's not 35, but.
No, you know, the young guy.
I don't want to get in the, you know, I don't want to start a playoff series. And it's like, well, we're facing a lefty.
Right, David Fry.
Flies in right field, and then a ball gets hit right at him, just like he dropped that one when he first started. And it's almost like, well, he's not an outfielder. And then we sit here and go, what's Tito doing? Well, he's just trying to play somebody that can hit the ball. Gabe Arias can play all over the diamond really well.
Yeah.
But he cannot hit. He can hit.
I said at the game on Sunday, when I was at the game on Sunday, I was with Scott Miller, and I said to him, if you could put Ahmed's hitting in Straw's glove and put those two together, Straw's defense with Ahmed's bat, you'd have a really solid shortstop or a really solid center fielder.
I know.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I mean, look, he started Arias at first base against the Yankees in the playoffs because he had, you know, because Naylor wasn't hitting lefties. So I don't know. That's the thing. Like, they're a flawed team. I think everyone can agree they're a flawed team. They're 500. And if they could just get, there's stuff there that can be done internally, but I come back still, bring it back around. Trading Shane Bieber for a bat right now who can help you is got to be the move. You got to look at a team that really is in dire need of a frontline starting pitcher who is still in it and get a major league bat that you can count on. I think that a lot of people inflate his value currently, but you're still getting a frontline starter for two playoffs seasons.
Is he a frontline starter? Like, that's the thing. We love him. Great reputation.
Great guy.
Cy Young winner.
Yeah.
But the casual baseball fan or the casuals, you know, or the guy wearing a, the guy wearing a Dodgers hat at a London, England, Bruce Springsteen concert. You know, he's going, oh yeah, we get Shane Bieber, from Cleveland. That'd be great. But then he'd go to the Dodgers and, you know, top out at 90 and they go, wait, what? Where's the guy we thought we were getting? Like,
yeah,
I'm all in on Shane Bieber, but like, and I think Zach Meisel pointed it out. He was on The Fan the other day. I was listening to the podcast. Like, not throwing his curveball with confidence. When he's down in the count with that fastball, especially the third time around, and now it's now we're in the sixth inning and he's laboring a bit and hitting 90. Guys are ready for it. Like, this is not the same Shane Bieber. And he's not quantrilling right now and getting tattooed in the first few innings. And he still has some mojo, but I just wonder what the return would be when coming up at the deadline, you're going to have guys like Eduardo Rodriguez, who still has gas in the tank and throws from the left side, and Giolito and Lance Lynn and all these other slappies. Like, I'm not saying Bieber isn't better than those guys, but the return I don't think will be as good because for some odd reason, his K rate is way down. And that's a problem when the Royals, when Michael Massey is turning on his fastball. That's trouble.
Well, as I told you and the executive producer European tour when I was at the game on Sunday. Yeah, I'm sure soon. When I was at the game on Sunday, you know, my first thing, I was sitting there and it was 1-1 and it came back around and they were putting runners on base, the Royals. And I texted you guys, I believe. And I said, you know what? He's turned into a, you can't send him out for the third time around starter. I mean, he's only 7.3 strikeouts per 9 innings right now. I mean, that's not good. You know,
no, that's low. That's low, especially for somebody as good as he is.
Yes. I mean, I think that he has become more of a crafty pitcher and knows where his spots are. But the fastball velocity we've talked about for 2 years is down. And he's not going deep into games the way he should. It seems like the third time around has become the issue. And if we know this, you can sure as hell bet that the major league scouts who are checking him out for these teams, they know it too.
Yes.
I'm just looking back at his last, let's just go back in the last month. Okay. So Sunday, he pitched twice last week. He went 6 1/3 against the Royals. He gave up 9 hits and 4 runs, but the 3 of the 4 runs were in the sixth, and he gave up 4 consecutive hits. He only made it 4 2/3 against the Braves. They had 6 hits against him, and he walked 5. So that means the third time through, he got in trouble there. Before that, he had the good start against the Royals where he pitched 6 scoreless. But again, that's the Royals. So I'm not, getting too excited about that. Lost to Milwaukee 5 innings, gave up, 5 hits, 4 runs. And again, third time through was the problem. In Arizona, He third time through, he went 7 1/3, but he gave up 7 hits and 5 runs because the deeper he gets, the worse it's getting.
Yeah.
So, it's happened many, many times this year. He is clearly, I don't want to say past his prime because that's mean.
No.
I like people, but he's definitely not the same guy 3 years ago.
No.
And
the Milwaukee start. You have Tom Hamilton is just such a god. I mean, he's just the best. And being out of town and on vacation and getting a chance to listen on the app, he's just so good. But he was like, something's wrong with him. Why is Tim Herron up in the bullpen to start the 5th inning?
And his velocity that day was way down.
Way down. And it's like when your radio announcer, who's very close to the team and obviously has the eyes and ears of Tito, is kind of divulging some things on the air, it's an issue. Like I said, there's going to be a lot of pitchers on the market in a couple of weeks. And I don't know. I mean, then you look up and go, well, yeah, but he's your game one starter. If the season ended today and you're going to the play, who are you starting in game one against Houston? If it ended today, you'd start him.
You'd have to, for experience factor.
Right.
On a confidence level. And this is also saying that Tristan McKenzie's out.
This is a stupid topic, but I'm.
It is a stupid topic, but
I'm throwing it out there.
In the circle of trust pitcher, right. I'd still send him out for game one. 100% I would, because you're not. Listen, I love Gavin Williams. I love what I've seen so far, but are you really going to start Gavin Williams in game one? Or Bybee? Love Bybee. I love everything he's about. I love his moxie on the hill. Maybe, Savali was great last time out, 7 scoreless, gave up 1 hit. But again,
I want to see what he does Friday.
Against Texas, a real
lineup. It's been great to have him back, and he's throwing strikes right now, and he's attacking the zone, as they say, which is great. But you're right. That was the Royals. Let's see what he does Friday in Texas against, the American League version of the Braves. Lineup, we'll have to see. But Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast here, a little Tuesday edition, day of the All-Star Game. Jose Ramirez will play tonight, come off the bench. Emmanuel Clase made the All-Star Game, but will not be there. I think him not being there is good. You were at the season ticket holder event this past weekend. And
yes, I was.
You ran into Manny. You even got a photo with him.
Do you want to talk about this now?
I'm just saying I want to connect these two dots here.
Okay.
Because Class A, apparently his girlfriend is having a kid, baby. Is that correct? And that's why
they
he's not
he
going to be
not participating because he was expecting a child. Yes.
Okay. Well, is he having a kid? Because that would be historical.
What about we're having a kid?
That's no, a good not. Bit. But something's wrong with him. And I hate to do this, but if you recall last year, Franmil Reyes was girlfriend, allegedly, was having a kid. And
let's just say that he was going through some off the field issues.
Right. And now he's out of baseball. And I'm not saying Class A is nowhere near that, but I'm just saying you can tell with Manny, shit hasn't been the same. He's just not the same guy. And then you saw him the other day and you said he looked like he didn't want to be there.
Okay. Now, when he came, okay, so we'll talk about the season ticket holder thing in a minute, but the short version of it, because I'll give you the long version, is we were able to basically get a photo with every player. That
it looked great. It looked like the organization hit a home run with that.
It was great. It was the best one. I've been to all of them. This one was by far the best, not even close.
And by the way, let me stop you for 1 second. Everybody on Facebook, because I read this, that was posting complaining about the season ticket holder event. Like, just
this
stop
wait,
it.
People were complaining about this one?
Yes.
What?
How come I wasn't invited? How come you didn't do this last year? Like, cut
Hold
it
on.
Out.
Now,
cut
for the record, like, every stop. Season ticket holder was invited, but it was a limited number of seats. So, or limited number of tickets.
Right.
And you had to buy them. It was $5 for us, you know? But it was like, you
but
have to
give me
a
break with
a
the
ticket.
Complaining. I'm tired of the complaining.
If
everybody,
you're lazy
everything's...
enough to not see that email and not get a ticket for $5 to sign yourself up, you don't deserve to be there.
Right. You went by yourself. You went down there solo. That's awesome.
I did. Me and my girl, me and my new best friend, Missy, which I will talk about in a few. Anyway, all the players who came by were super nice and engaged. Manny, and you saw the photo of me and Manny. He looked like he was just like walking, taking photo, walk to the next person, take a photo. He didn't, at least that was my experience. He didn't look like he wanted to be like some of these guys, dude, like Xavion Curry. What an awesome dude. He was so nice. They were all so engaged. Like, truly, I got to give them a ton of credit. You know who else was super nice? Ahmed, your boy.
Right. I love it. That's awesome.
They all had, Manny was the only one to me I was looking at and had no interest in being there. Okay, continue. Sorry.
Well, I'm just saying that I think that, it's interesting that Naylor's not at the All-Star game because he deserves it. Class A, while he is rung up a lot of saves, he's also had a lot of issues and a lot of blown saves, but I don't think he's had an All-Star first half. Now, is he our closer? Yes. Do I still have confidence in him? Yeah, I do. But hopefully once this maternity or paternity leave or whatever, I hope that maybe that clears his head a little bit and maybe gets his focus back. Cause you could just tell he just doesn't have the same body. Like the executive producer talks about it all the time on text with us. The body language just is not good. It's not.
No, it's not. And I mean, listen, you and I are both parents. It's easy to be distressed. I mean, listen, we're not pro athletes, but it's distracting. Obviously you got a lot weighing on your mind when your child is on the way and, maybe he's distracted by that. I don't know. Maybe it's just that he's have a harder time adjusting to the pitch clock. He said it earlier in the season. He told the media it's been an adjustment for him with that pitch clock and getting, his timing down. And if you recall, he struggled. Then he had that stretch where it was like 10 or 12 games in a row where he didn't allow a run. Now it's a little bit more of a struggle. That game in Chicago against the Cubs, the executive producer and I watched that at Shea Spear in South Carolina.
Oh,
and that was bad. That was really bad. But to his credit, he came back, a couple days later, did the job. I'm hoping that maybe the baby is born. It eases his mind a little bit. And this sabbatical over the All-Star break will do him good, and he'll come back and have a dominant second half because we need him. We do.
They do. Oh, big
time. Can't win this division and get to October without him. That's for sure.
No, I mean,
and he's also not the only one out there in the pen that's had their troubles. I mean, Trevor Stephan has been very up and down as well. He hasn't been as dominant as he was last year. So you know, you got to look up at guys that you weren't depending on, big time saviors. Yeah. My guy, D'Lo Santos, Eli Morgan, and Nick Sandlin. All three have exceeded my expectations.
Look at you coming. Look at you coming around on the Sandman.
He's been good. You can't. I mean, listen. Early on in the season, I wanted him back in the minors. You can't deny that he's been good. He's been really good.
And you're asking a lot of these guys. They've just had to pitch in so many one-run games. You know,
the only one who doesn't pitch in close games is Curry, and he's been good. Yep.
No. Well, I want to hear more about this season ticket holder event. You got to tell us about Groove Ride as well. A lot going on over at Groove Ride. If you guys are looking to get a workout in, start something fresh, go to grooveride.com. That's Groove, GROOVERYDE.com. And Todd's there all the time. Todd's running the damn place, for God's sakes. Come on.
I am running the place. And a week from next week, we'll have even bigger news on the Groove Ride.
Really?
Can't be this episode. It'll be next episode.
I love it.
Yes. It's all good. Come check out my bike boot camp. You'll love it. If you're looking for a great group fitness class, cardio and strength together, it's called Deep Groove. Check it out. We're on the corner of Chagrin and Brainerd. Groove Ride. Check us out. GROOVERYDE.com. We're more than just a spin studio, so come check us out. That is for sure. And major shout out to our good friend, Dr. Ben Hornstein, our friend,
yes,
Dr. Sean Slissel at the Center for Advanced Dentistry. Dr. Ben's out there recovering, doing the best he can. He's a P1 listener. He is America's number one dentist, one of the greatest men I've ever known. So shouts to him. CFAD.net, Center for Advanced Dentistry, best dentist you'll find here on the east side of Cleveland. So check them out. And D's, tell me about Breaking Tea real quick in the Cleveland collection.
I mean, go to BreakingTea.com/dairy takes you right to the Cleveland collection. All the shirts that you want. You better get that Bieber Fever shirt before it goes on sale. Todd was wearing his Josh Naylor All the Smoke shirt. Tell us that story. What happened?
I was. And when I was wearing my All the Smoke shirt and I went... And Sam Henches came up and I went to take a picture with Sam. He looked at me and he's like, man, that shirt is awesome. He's like, where'd you get that? I was like, go to breakingtea.com/dairy, D-E-R-Y. You can pick it up you right really there. I did. I said That's it to awesome. Sam.
Well, we'll see if any commissions come in. Yes. I love that. That is absolutely cool. But go to breakingtea.com/dairy. Get your Guardians t-shirts. It's hot out right now. You're going to the games when they come back from Texas and Pittsburgh.
The Bird,
big, big series with the Buccos next week.
Yep.
Carlos Santana revenge tour. But breakingtea.com/dairy and Austin Hedges for that matter. All right. Who's this Missy? Because she deserves major praise.
Missy. My new friend. So listen, my kids, as you know, are Brooks at camp. Andrew is out of the country. And
when's he coming back, by the way?
That's
right. He's back. He was watching tennis.
Mr. Wimbledon last night. Over there. Out there watching, you know, he hasn't missed one second of Wimbledon since he's been home.
Wow.
I had gotten a ticket so long ago, I forgot about it. I asked the executive producer, I asked him a long time ago to go. And, you know, he was also he's now out of the country, you know, seeing F1 and Wimbledon and Bruce Springsteen.
What a ride.
In my next life, I want to come back as him for this week. Cause that was a pretty sick
trip. Who's that F1 slappy with the microphone that asks all the
Martin Brundle slappy. Legend.
I gotta get into that.
You do. You just need to watch Drive to Survive and then you'll get hooked. Andrew is now in. He watched the whole British Grand Prix with me the other day.
Did he really? Sunday.
Oh yeah. He loves it. He got himself like a F1 jet.
By the way, real fast on F1, I'm gonna watch that show, the Drive to Survive. My wife and I watched Claim to Fame. The first season.
I'm not familiar.
If anybody's seen that, hit us up on Twitter and let me know what you think of it. But it wasn't bad. But go ahead.
I don't. way to spoil it for everyone. Why would you do that?
What's that?
I said you spoiled it for everyone. Jer would be the executive producer. You just said who won. The executive producer would go,
oh my God, what am I doing?
These. Come on.
Oh my God. All right. I'll make sure that gets edited.
I'm going to watch the show now that I know who won.
No. I'll make sure I edit that out. I'm on 4 hours of sleep.
Got to get some sleep. Please. All right. So anyway, let me go back to my
Thanks a lot, Southwest.
Yeah. So Missy has a young child and her husband had to stay home with the child. So she came by herself. And the way they did this event, which was great, was they opened the gates at 12:30 or whatever. We're all waiting in line. And it didn't really turn out to matter if you were early or late. I got there earlier than I thought because I read it wrong. I was like third in line, fourth in line. They open up, they walk us all through the bowels of the stadium and they bring us out literally through the left field wall. You know, the big wall and left, they open up those doors. We come through and there's a rope that was going all the way in front of the warning track. And they walked all the season ticket holders who had tickets to the warning track. And they basically fanned us all out. And what they did was they then brought the team out. Half the team went one way, half the team went the other. And they were kind of meeting in the middle. Some people went to the middle. So you had the opportunity. It was 1 hour and you basically had the opportunity to get a photo. You're supposed to stay in one space. One spot to get a photo with all the players that came out and to
just pictures or do they sign stuff too?
No autographs. And they said no autographs. It's just photos. And it's, you know, they're cool. Like selfies with the players.
Yeah. And so you get to meet them and say hello. Right. They shook hands.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. It was great. So basically half the players come one way, half the players come another. And then they had some in the middle and they had some alumni. It was good. And we're waiting there and they put up a video and it's great. And then the players start slowly trickling out. So towards us to start, Curry, Bybee, there was like three or four, Josh Bell right away. And then the other way, you know, went four other players. And then they kept slowly trickling out. And they were all, you saw the pictures, they were all so engaged and so nice.
They look
great. To their credit, every single player except for the starting pitcher that day, Gavin Williams, was out there. I don't recall not seeing anyone else other than Gavin Williams, and it was his start that day. So, you know, I'm sure that's why. Even McKenzie was out there. Quantrill was out there. It was awesome. I ended up getting a picture. The only people that I didn't get were Josh Naylor started at the other end, never got his way to us because he was swarmed.
Oh, I'm assuming.
I never saw Kwan, never saw Brennan. I mean, they were there. Kwan, Brennan, and Freeman. But everybody else, Grover, got a photo with Grover.
I saw. Know,
like, yeah. Ron Hassey was out there. It was very funny. But Missy I were both there solo. I met her. We started talking. She's a huge Guardians fan. I mean, you could tell she was super knowledgeable. Like, it was easy to tell who knew their stuff and who didn't. She knew everything. So we just decided before it happened, okay, I'm terrible at selfies. I got the Warren family handshaking, so I can't, you know, every time I take a selfie, it's blurry.
We're really digging deep.
Yeah. So Missy and I said, okay, I'll take pictures of you with the players. You take pictures of me. So we just traded phones and she did an awesome job. And it was great meeting her. And what was funny was she took this picture of me in front of the, which is now my profile photo on Twitter, in front of the scoreboard that says welcome season ticket holders. And it got picked up by the Guardians because retweeted by the Guardians. And because of that, she found me on Twitter. She's like, oh my God, I found him. And you know, it was cute. So yeah, she major props to Missy. She was a great partner in crime. Very aggressive, by the way. I got to give her a ton of credit. This was the most ridiculous thing ever. So at a certain point when it was almost over, we weren't by Jose. We could tell we weren't getting him. He was at the other end. So we started kind of making our way around. And at the end, only one dickhead usher. It was the dumbest thing. This old guy, Jose, was all the way at the other end. And he was blocking people who were trying to get to him at the end. And it was ridiculous. Like, all we wanted was a picture with Jose. It wasn't that crowded over there. So the guy, like, made, like, a turn. Missy went right past him. Didn't even look. Clicked the selfie with Jose.
No way.
Oh yeah, it was pretty sick.
Missy is a true Guardians. Yeah, she's a real Guardians babe. She's and babes.
Real one. Absolutely. That's right. She's a real one. So, but the event overall, A plus, best one they've done. Cause I've gone to all of them. Some have been total duds. This one was really, really great. So shout out to the organization and all the people that put that whole thing together, because
that's great.
It couldn't have been easy to put together, and it was so much fun. And what else was cool was we were out on the field, you know, like I got to walk on the warning track and be out there. It was really awesome.
Is that also your new profile pic on Threads? Yeah, we're on Threads.
I think so. I don't know. To be honest with you, I can't remember because it's tied into my IG, which is, you know, personal. So there you go. But yeah, but it was all good, man.
We got to wrap this up because I know you have to go teach, but the Texas Rangers for three this weekend, not going to be an easy series. Texas is number two in the American League behind Tampa Bay, running away with the AL West to an extent. What are you looking at?
I got an update on cousin Jory here.
Oh, geez. This is important.
A few stitches and a long ER visit. His eye looks bad, but we got lucky. It was 116 miles per hour off the bat. Woof.
So wait a minute. So Vladimir Guerrero hits that ball. And by the way, ESPN just cut away from it. Like,
I know, he got drilled in the face, went to the ground, and then they were like, oh yeah, let's keep going.
Yeah. But you know, that's par for the course with Carl Ravage. Sorry. But when you said, oh my gosh, I hope that kid's okay. Like, when you've done that.
What about Carl Ravage's rug? It's worse than Bill Self's.
That's right up there with Coach Self.
Yeah, right.
I'm glad he's all right. That's crazy.
Yes. I'm sorry. So go back to the pitching matchup.
No, so
that, came in, that was real time right there.
That is real time. I gotta edit out my thing earlier about the
spoiler alerts. No, you should just leave it in there because it's funny.
All right, fine. I'll leave it. It's season one. Season two's underway now. I don't know who wins that. claim to fame. Check it out. Aaron Civale is going to start game one in Texas. It's interesting, Todd. They're going to go with Civale, Williams, Bibee, Bieber in Pittsburgh Monday. And they'll need a starter for Tuesday in Pittsburgh, Tuesday night against the Pirates. I'm guessing it'll be Logan Allen, unless they think Quantrill can come off the DL and be ready. Who knows? But interesting there. That's the way they're starting. I think they like the way Savali's in a groove right now, so they want to keep it like that. And I also think that they're setting it up a certain way where it's like Savali kind of a soft tosser, then Williams throws hard. They're kind of separating Williams and Bieber a little bit. So that's the way that lines up. Yeah. The Rangers have not announced their starters yet for and how they're going to run their rotation. But the rumor is Texas needs starting pitching. They want to bring Lance Lynn back. What about Finvold back?
What about Darwin? Maybe they want Bieber.
Texas?
They got a lot of bats.
That would be a team, you know.
Yeah.
That would make a move like that.
Baltimore and Texas are the two teams that are desperate for pitching.
Man. Well, the Dodgers also would like another starter.
I'll take James Outman.
So, yeah, that would be nice. But, all right, that'll do it for us here on a Tuesday All-Star Game edition of the Dairy Brothers Guardians cast, waitingtofnextyear.com, the Evergreen Podcast Network. Thank you for checking this out wherever you get your podcasts. Todd, keep me updated when Jose gets into the game tonight, because I'm going to be busy catching up on Locked on Lions podcast. But just if he comes in, we just text me because I'm not going to be paying attention.
Yes, it'll be on TV too. And when he does come in, I will alert you.
Thank you. So, all right, there he is. For Todd, and we got to give a shout out to the executive producer who's always on top of things, even when he's out of the country.
What a legend the executive producer is.
And he behaved. He was well behaved on your little road trip.
Well behaved in South Carolina, even better behaved in Europe, I'm sure. I mean, what a trip. I mean, right now as we record this, he's at court number one at Wimbledon.
Is he?
Man, yeah.
I'm way behind.
Yeah, court number one.
I got to get caught up.
Saw Bruce Springsteen the other night. He was at Silverstone for the F1 race on Sunday. And, you know, sounds like he's having a great time with he and the missus. And this is a great big birthday trip for him. So shout out to the executive producer doing work across the pond.
First place, Cleveland Guardians at the All-Star break. We are out of room and out of here.
The Korean War has sadly been known as the Forgotten War, but half a century earlier, the United States was locked in a bloody conflict in Asia that's been all but erased from the history books. Hi, I'm Alex Hasty, the host of Ohio vs. the World, an American history podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. In our newest episode, we speak to experts about the Philippine-American War, America's first Asian counterinsurgency conflict. The heroes, the villains. We'll discuss President McKinley, Admiral Dewey, the vicious brutality of the fighting, and the scandals and war crimes that nearly sunk Theodore Roosevelt's presidency. Check out our show, Ohio vs. the World, on the Evergreen Podcast Network for our new episode about America's most forgotten war. Now back to the show.